went from there to setting up the first Headspace Centre in Western New South Wales. So it was one of the first 30 Headspace Centres in the country. At that time, it was just a concept, really. So Professor Patrick McGorry, who was Australian of the Year, knew that he wanted to see Headspace Centres set up to support youth mental health, but no one really knew whether it would work. And every year we would be unsure if the Commonwealth would continue our funding, and every year we battled to keep the doors open. But that was a really beautiful, exciting time.
Hello and welcome to the Brand My Career podcast. I'm your host, Alex Cutterford, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. My goal is to help you take ownership of your career, find your people through personal branding and networking, and take career-enhancing action. Managing your life and career can be hard. That's why every fortnight, I'll be releasing an episode where I interview a diverse range of guests that will help you find clarity and build confidence in your career. Let's get into it.
Welcome back to the Brand My Career podcast. And I'm extremely excited today to be chatting with Narelle, who is the CEO of Skillset and my former boss. So thanks for joining me, Narelle.
Thanks for having me.
Technology has tried to keep us apart, but we've pushed through, and hopefully this one's going to work for us. You were going to be my first episode.
I was, yeah, and I was ready for that, and now I'm feeling a bit anxious.
But I think it's going to be like episode 10. So,
no problem. I'm good with that.
Yeah. So I'm really keen to hear about your career journey and all the twists and turns that you've had throughout the way. And I think it's a good story to tell, even though you think people aren't going to care about it.
That's right.
But do you want to start by sharing a bit of an overview of what some of the things you've done throughout your career?
Sure. I have a degree in corporate communications, so with Chulster University. I grew up in Bathurst, went to the local uni, put myself through uni, working about three jobs, cleaning houses, working at Macca's, selling roses in restaurants when that was a thing. Then at the conclusion of my degree, got a job with the largest family-based PR firm in Australia, professional public relations. So their main account was McDonald's. So I continued my McDonald's career with them. So I worked for 9 years in Sydney and then relocated back to Bathurst. I continued to work for that firm for a period of time before I started a family. And it was at that time that I think I realised that I'm the type of person who will always work more hours, work harder, just have a strange work ethic. So I knew that it was an opportunity, one of those, you know, moments to redefine or take control of my own kind of career path, I think is how I would describe it. So from then I started doing work in roles that make a difference. I realized that if I was going to give so much of myself and my time, I wanted to do things that were actually making, I don't know, it sounds cliched, but the world a better place. So I worked for the university running their foundation program, and that was my first taste, I think, in sales. I was approaching businesses to sponsor scholarships and supporting young people who otherwise wouldn't be able to study, but also connecting those young people to those businesses, and so convincing them it was a good business decision. So that was an interesting foray, I guess, into sales, but it taught me that as long as I can see that I'm making a difference to that business or getting a great outcome for someone like study, then I was motivated to do that. Went from there to setting up the first Headspace Centre in Western New South Wales. So it was one of the first 30 Headspace Centres in the country. At that time, it was just a concept, really. So Professor Patrick McGorry, who was Australian of the Year, knew that he wanted to see Headspace Centres set up to support youth mental health, but no one really knew whether it would work. And every year we would be unsure if the Commonwealth would continue our funding, and every year we battled to keep the doors open. But that was a really beautiful, exciting time. To use my PR skills as well, so running a business, running staff, but also changing the dialogue in communities about mental health and reducing the stigma and getting young people to see that it was okay to ask for help. So that was, you know, just something I really loved to do. I then moved into youth mental. I did a little foray in public sector. So I worked in disability services, working with not-for-profit organisations in Western New South Wales, preparing them for the transition to the NDIS. And that was an interesting kind of almost consultancy role, working with CEOs and boards to talk to them about what their plan was when they were no longer going to have guaranteed government funding to keep the doors open and were reliant on consumers to select them for their services. But worked with some really amazing people in disability services and got to understand that business or that service area. And then more recently, I worked for a not-for-profit organisation in Western New South Wales, again, a youth service and out-of-home care, foster care youth service. So I've been with them for 7 years in business development roles and corporate services roles and acting CEO at times. So that was a really rewarding experience as well. And most recently, the last 8 months, I've been working with Skillset. It is actually a return. I missed that kind of jump. I worked for Skillset for about 18 months, 10 years ago, and so have returned now again, having an opportunity to work with youth in particular in the region. We support career and workforce for all ages, but in particular, we work with a lot of young people who are not sure about their careers, and we can support them with their career development. We can connect them to apprenticeships and traineeships. We're the largest employer of apprentices and trainees in Western New South Wales. It's a not-for-profit organisation that's run for 40 years, established by the communities to have the workforce that we need in regional New South Wales. And so kind of brings together, I think, all of the things that I'm really passionate about, the communities I'm living in and have lived in for most of my life, and youth in particular. So that's the journey.
Yeah, an awesome journey, I think, if you ask me. That's really interesting. I think I had heard that you like working the headspace stuff, but I don't think I had realised it was in that capacity and stuff. So, and that's really, I think, when you're thinking about sort of legacy pieces of your life and stuff, I'm sure that's probably going to be one right up there for you.
Absolutely. I have literally worked either casually or full-time since I was 13. I was riding my bike from where we lived at the time in a disadvantaged area of Bathurst to work in a bakery on Saturdays and Sundays. So from that time, from 13 right through, I've always worked. And kind of the watershed moment for me was I had to leave one of those organisations I have mentioned. I may never have applied for the Headspace job had I been in work. It was one of those moments where I was looking at everything and kind of considering things that I may otherwise not have considered. And it was, without question, the most rewarding and challenging experience of my career. Because you were redefining a service in that is now, I mean, I would think one of the most recognised brands in Australia. Young people don't even think twice about talking about their mental health challenges now. You know, when we were setting it up, you just didn't talk about stuff. You got on with it. And it was a model that the Commonwealth didn't want to continue to fund. So there was an element of how will you make the business sustainable when there's no rule book on how you actually create that. So it was, yeah, it was an exciting time. Yeah. And yeah. I was surrounded by great people. So,
really awesome. Really awesome way. So connecting that to your, like, thinking on that Headspace role, and your sort of PR sort of qualifications and experience, like what were the key skills do you think you brought to that role from that background?
Look, it's probably in most of the roles. So there's a business development element to it. And perhaps for me, that's because when people talk about public relations, they think of, you know, AbFab and lots of air kissing and champagne. There is a little bit of champagne in events. But for me, it was more about working with businesses and to identify how to improve their reputation, how to protect their brand, how to support to grow their brand. So a lot of it was actually coming up with solutions in partnership with our clients to actually address whatever the reputational or stakeholder engagement challenge was. So I guess I've taken that in each of my roles, and that's about, you know, raising the profile of the organization, getting key messages across in various ways, whether that's events, whether that's meeting with Rotary clubs, whether that's media, all of those elements were part of what I brought with me, I guess, in my leadership roles. It's also, I think, being innovative in how you run the business. So fundraising events, partnerships with local community events to raise funds was important. And also, I guess, negotiation with people. So we were convincing psychologists who were employed in the health sector or employed in education to, for the first time in their life, step out of safe and secure employment and take a chance on a model and go into private practice and do that under the umbrella of Headspace. So that required some negotiation and some spin, I'm sure, and some public relations. Again, a really rewarding opportunity to test a model and demonstrate that it can work. So all of those bits, I think, came from my PR training and experience, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. I always joke that I did a PR course by proxy because Melissa, my wife, studied PR at Charlestown and Bathurst there. And it used to be something for me, yeah, like the whole thing of this communications and stuff was just so far down my radar. And I was, you know, very much the heart and soul sort of thinker of, no, it's just about getting in there with the kids and working with people and supporting people and all this stuff. It's not about, you know, communications and messaging and all that stuff. And then I sort of got chatting with her about it and the stuff that she was learning, and we got married while she's sort of halfway through her course, and so she's doing assignments at home and stuff, and she's working, we're talking it through, and I just started like picking her brain about stuff, and I just got so excited about it and this the power of communications, and started like studying business plans and business models for the organization I was with at the time, and then got just so excited about it all. And now I love it and she hates it.
I mean, 30 years ago, at that time, a lot of people didn't understand it. Like, it was big events and it was the AbFab stuff. So I remember we used to say, in its essence, it's doing good and telling people about it. That is public relations. And so I think for me, that is the essence of what has driven my career. If we're bringing it back to, you know, the theme of your podcast, it is actually doing good. The telling people about it might be promotion or, you know, publicity or events or whatever it might be, but it could also be word of mouth. It can also be stakeholder engagement, so the connections and networks that you have in a community who recognize and can see the good that you're doing. So I think at its core, it's actually guiding businesses to put that front and center of their business model is something that I'm really passionate about. And I think that's probably been in my career, if I think about when I get to the point where I go, right, what's my next challenge? It's often a couple of things. It's often that I've got to the point where I feel like I've contributed all that I can to really make a significant difference in the organization that I'm working with, and that it's a chance for someone else to step in and build on those foundations and do better. Or that it is a case of going, I don't feel that this organization or the role that I'm in or the people I'm working with or whatever that might be align with my values anymore. I don't feel like I'm truly doing good anymore. And so I need to find that next opportunity because that's what drives and motivates me. So
what would you say are some of, and I guess for me, when I think about you, you've been very driven by principles. What would you say are some of the principles that you sort of learned out of those lessons, do you think?
Well, I guess, I mean, I touched on it before. I realized, as I said before, that I'm driven by making a difference. And the not-for-profit space is not for everyone. But when I fell into it, I realized that that was really, you know, it was my jam. So... You know, when I first started my career, I was very money driven, I should say, because I grew up in social housing. I put myself through uni. So the idea of where I was going to work was, you know, that I was going to get paid really well and working for the big brands. So I was working for Westpac and McDonald's and Retrovision and, you know, not that it exists anymore, but, you know, big brands. Yeah. And that was what I realized. What I got the most out of working for the McDonald's account was that I ran McHappy Day for 9 years across the entire country, which was raising money for Ronald McDonald House Charities that is helping country kids to have their family around them when they're in capital cities getting treatment. That's really rewarding and was not about the, you know, Big Macs and selling fries. It was about helping vulnerable people. I did a lot of the sponsorship support PR for them. So it was about camp quality puppets that were going into schools doing programs where children had experienced cancer. And so through the power of puppetry, their classmates were learning about what their friend was going through in a really beautiful, powerful way. So Clean Up Australia Day was a major sponsorship as well. We did a whole heap of that. So I got to work on even in an account like McDonald's, what was driving and motivating me was the good that they were also doing. So that realization for me was really important, that I needed to be doing stuff and working with organizations that were, you know, impacting lives positively. So for different people, it's different though. So, you know, I certainly wouldn't want anyone to think that, if anyone is watching and interested in what I'm saying, you know, you might be in retail and be really realize that what you're motivated by is helping someone to create an outfit that makes them feel powerful or positive or have, you know, self-worth, or, you know, there's different things that motivate people in the roles that they do. And I think you just have to identify what those are, because you spend a lot of time at work and so you want it to be rewarding and fulfilling. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And then I was keen to get your thoughts on if someone is looking to get into leadership or maybe they're new in leadership, what would be your advice to them?
I feel like I fell into leadership, I have to say. So I suffer the worst case of imposter syndrome in the universe. So I, as we've talked about this podcast, I'm like, who's going to want to hear from me? I don't have anything that's very insightful. And I keep waiting for someone to tap on the door and go, I think you're in the wrong office. So I certainly never aspired to be a CEO or to lead people. I feel like I was surrounded by people throughout my career who saw my potential more than I did, to be honest, and encouraged me and nurtured me and coached me and mentored me along the way and created opportunities for me to supervise people straight out of uni, so graduates, right through then my career, continue to then manage teams and to coach and guide people. So I would encourage anyone considering going into leadership to think about the best people that you've worked with, the best managers and the worst people that you've seen in management, and think about what behaviours and values they have espoused that you would like to see in yourself, and keep checking in on yourself that what you're doing is actually the best leadership that you want to see, because at times when things get tough, that's where those behaviours can change and you need to keep checking in on that. Read widely, surround yourself by coaches and mentors right from an early stage. That never changes. You need someone who you can trust will be honest and that you, it may hurt at times what you're hearing, but you need to take it away and really digest it and take it on board. And those people are really, really valuable and may change along the way. I mentioned read widely. Put your hand up for courses. Try to study as much as you can. Keep learning. If you're in an organisation that can't fund the training that you would like to do, that's okay. But you can still read and there's plenty of stuff online that you can keep learning from. I don't think I have ever done a training course or read a book or watched something where I haven't taken something away. And reinforcing those leadership styles and learnings is really important because in every organization or in every different role or in any team that you're managing, the composition changes and the challenges change. And what may have resonated in a book or a course at one time, you could do again. I am doing a course at the moment, Authentic Leadership Training with Kelly Mills. Mills Eaton are the best. A bit of an ad there for them. if anyone's ever looking for great training, Kelly is the bomb. I did her training, I think it was 13 years ago, and I'm learning as much this time around as I did back then for all of those reasons, different teams, different experiences. So just keep challenging yourself and don't let the imposter syndrome or the I'm not good enough, if you're one of those people like me, don't let that voice talk too loudly. And if it is, reach out to the people who tell you that you're crazy and put that aside and go for it.
Well, I'm glad you didn't let your imposter syndrome stop you from getting on this chat. And it was funny. Because I'm looking to interview very, diverse people from different perspectives of their careers. And I had a uni student on, Yaz, back in one of the earlier episodes. And when I was talking to her about coming on and we did a catch up to chat about it, and she's like, oh, like, do you really want me? Like, I'm just a uni student and like, I assume you're going to be interviewing like CEOs and all this stuff. And I was like, don't worry, the CEOs said the exact same thing.
And I did.
Yeah. So we all get it at times. I definitely had, like, even the sinking to my time at skill set. I'm coming from the perspective of, oh, like, I'm just a tradie. Like, how have I ended up in an office?
Exactly.
And you're thinking through that. But then before long, everyone started getting more surprised that I was a tradie than they were that I was an office. So then all of a sudden you realise, oh, now you know that it's flipped.
And I should say on that, I think everyone talks about Brené Brown and I'm a big fan of her books and I know that you are as well. But one of the other books that I would recommend is Lean In. It was really powerful for me, and if there's any females who are watching this who might suffer from imposter syndrome as well, I think it's a really powerful book as well because it is that whole sitting at the back of the room, letting the boys do the talking or the more senior people and having the courage to actually lean in and offer your insight and particularly a female insight is really important. And I feel like I've read the book many times and there's lots of dog-eared corners. So it's another really good one I would recommend.
Yeah, awesome. And I've got to say, like, I have been very lucky to have some very amazing and strong women leaders throughout my career. And that's something I'm very grateful for, you being one. And also Sharon Bradley, who was the manager in the role that I was then in when working with you. And when she finished up and I moved into that role, like, I reached out to her and she sort of maintained sort of as a mentor to me. And it's been like when you're thinking about, having good people around you, absolutely, it makes all the difference when you get good sort of strong people that also are extremely compassionate, empathetic, and all of that really helps sort of set you up on a career trajectory that I'm very grateful for.
I should say as well, I don't think people who are mentors realize at times that they are considered to be a mentor. Someone actually reached out to me and described me as that, and I was like, oh, thought we were just friends, ex-colleagues that, and Yeah, so don't feel like, I think I would recommend to people, if they're reaching out to someone, that you have to label it even. You know the people that have worked with you that you trust to call it and to just guide you, and it can be a coffee or a lunch or just a chat online. Yeah. But, that would be my strongest message. Reach out to people who can keep guiding you, because you're right, the Sharons that and sometimes it's a very short period that you, I mean, you and I had a very short, period together, but you make really strong connections at times with some people. So maintaining those connections is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Narelle, and looking forward to continuing watching the journey from afar.
Thank you so much for having me. It was more fun than I expected. Thank you.
Good. Awesome. Thank you. Thanks so much for joining me today. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And let's connect on LinkedIn so that we can keep the conversation going. Or head to my website and download my free resource, The Career Building Principles. Bye for now.